I just want to pray again because I think, although I've got down here some notes, I'm not quite sure it's exactly what God wants to say. So let's just pray again and ask that He would just speak to us now. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the living God, that You are the God who wants to breathe mercy and life to all of us. Heavenly Father, I just pray now that You would just bring words from You so that, Lord, we hear Your word today, which is right for our hearts this time in this season. Heavenly Father, give life to us now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll start and we'll see where we go. So we're carrying on in the Beatitudes, hopefully. And today we reach the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we go back to the Old Testament, people were craving to see who God was. People were desperate to see God. But in their desperation to see God, they also recognized that to see God was to be terrified. Because to encounter the living God, God Most High, God Most Holy, how could someone so sinful and so lowly approach someone so holy, perfect, and just? And so people like Gideon was terrified because he encountered an angel. He went, Have I encountered God? Am I going to die now? He was terrified of death because he had encountered something of God. But there's a desperation to see God. If we go to the New Testament, one of the last recorded words of the disciples to Jesus is, Jesus, let us see the Father. And he goes, oh my life, I've been with you for 3 years. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we, as people who live this side of the cross, people who live in the grace and the mercy of the living God, we have the blessing of knowing that we can see God because we can encounter Christ. We can see God Most High, God Most Holy, because we can encounter Christ. And the Christian life is all about following Jesus in the hope of seeing God Most High, to be able to approach God Most Holy. That where our sins and our depravity separated us from God, through Christ we can be reconnected with God and therefore see Him. A relationship isn't much of a relationship without eye contact. If you never make eye contact with the people around you, you won't have many decent relationships. Eye contact is crucial. Seeing the person you're talking to. Seeing them face to face. That is the glory to which we hope for. That one day in heaven we shall see God face to face. And how amazing will that be? But here on earth we can see glimpses of that glory now. We can still see God now. We see glimpses of that glory now. And that's the thing that can move us forward in our life. Give us direction in our life. Is seeking God. Seeking His face, seeking His path, His direction, His vision for our life. Last week, I asked a question during the service, which was this. Do you control your Christianity, or does your Christianity control you? In other words, if you're a Christian, do you control Christ, or is Christ controlling you? Because that's the big question, really, isn't it? That surely if we are a true disciple of Jesus, it needs to be Jesus is the one who's in control of my life, not me. And that is the challenge. That is the difficulty of trying to live a life surrendered to God. Am I going to surrender to what God, who God is, what I believe about Him, what He has done for me, and all the blessings that flow from living in relationship with God? Or am I going to choose to try and control God, i.e. make myself the person who's in control of my life, and say, God, You don't matter? And that's the choice that we live with daily. Are we choosing to live for God, surrendering to Him and who He is, or are we choosing to live our own way? And whether we've encountered the cross of Christ and we've received the grace of God and we've become a Christian, that choice is still a choice that we have to make every day. It's the choice of salvation. Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose my own life? But that choice continues through the Christian life. And here in the Beatitudes, and we've talked about this, it's like a ladder. Each one builds upon the other. And I'll go through this every week because it's important to understand the foundation blocks that the Beatitudes, as the first teaching of Christ, is trying to lay. He says, first of all, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those people who recognize they have nothing to offer God. They recognize who God is, how holy he is, and they recognize that we have nothing that we can give him. There's nothing I can do to be good for God because I have nothing to give him. Compared to God, I am pretty rubbish. The next step is to understand the mourning that we have. It's kind of grief that comes from sin. And we're all affected by the grief of sin. Because it affects not only our own heart, but it affects the world around us. And when we see evil in the world, we go, God, why is there evil in the world? We see that it's because people choose to make themselves in control of their life, not God. And when we do that, we always mess up. We always screw up. So there's this kind of, we recognize that we have nothing to give. We recognize the condition that we have in sin. Then there's blessed are the meek, those people who are humble enough to see these things and to recognize that they have nothing to offer God. But then there's those people then, blessed are the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who recognize what goodness could look like, who recognize what it would be like to be in relationship with God, and they hunger and they thirst for the righteousness of this world, for things being good. If you long for things in life to be good, you're craving a righteousness because you recognize that there's evil in the world and it's not right. And we say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And what we saw last week is that we have truly encountered Jesus. If we've truly encountered the cross of Christ and the grace that he offers and the mercy that he gives, it can't help but affect our life. And so really the true example of whether Christ is active in your life is whether mercy flows from your heart. If you're not acting mercifully, your relationship with God, there's something blocking that. I said last week that if your relationship with God isn't right, your relationship with each other isn't going to be right. Because how can you truly love people with the love of God if you haven't got the love of God going in your life between you and the Father? If this relationship's wrong, it will affect the relationships to the side of us. When I preach at weddings, I always talk about how marriage, and it means the same for all of us, but marriage is an example of this, is how actually in marriage, it's like a triangle. It's like a triangle with God at the top and each member of the couple at the bottom. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Actually, as you draw closer to who God is, it will draw you closer in your relationship together as a couple. And that's not just for married couples, that's for all of us who live in relationship with each other in the church. If we are drawing closer to who God is, if we are seeking him, it will only make our relationship stronger in the community of the church. When this relationship with us in the church isn't going well, normally our relationships around us don't go so well. We're not quite as gracious, we're not quite as patient, we're not quite as loving as we should be, because actually there's an issue going on here. And today, Jesus says to us today, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mentioned last week about the Pharisees, how Jesus condemns the Pharisees because he says, you know what, guys? He says, you're doing all this great stuff. You're following the law. You're tithing. You're giving amazing things to the house of God. He says, you've lost justice, mercy, faithfulness. He says, it's not wrong to do the things that you're doing. They're good. But the heart behind it isn't there. So I want us to focus now just on the heart. Because today it says, blessed are those people. You're favored by God when your heart is pure. When their heart is right. And some of the stuff I'm going to say this morning, I've probably said to you before, but it's good to go over old ground because we need to hear it again and again. It's about our heart. Jesus says about the heart, he says, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. that your heart reflects the thing that you value most. So why is that important? Because Jesus says, a good man brings good things out from the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or an old translation says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's saying, whatever in your heart is what will come out of you, is what you will speak. You will speak what's in the depths of your heart. And we see this. If you're angry, the things that you tend to say are short and filled with anger. If you're really happy, you become really annoying because everything you talk about is amazing. What grabs your heart, what captures your heart, is what you'll speak about. But more than that, it says in the book of James that your tongue, what you say, is like a rudder in your life. You're like a ship. The rudder is very small, but it directs the whole course of where the ship's going. So what you speak in your life, what you say in your life, whether that's what you say about yourself, what you say about other people, directs the course of your life. So if your heart is full of hatred and malice, the things that you'll speak will reflect that, and the direction of your life won't be nice. It will lead you down a path which isn't good. See, what you say, what you speak, is important, because it demonstrates what's going on in your heart. And in Proverbs, it says, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Other translations say, look after your heart, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Saying again, whatever is in your heart is the thing that will be shown in your life. It will direct your life and the way that you go. So what gets your heart directs the course of your life. What your heart is full of. So just think about the things that you're passionate about. I've said this before. The things that you're passionate about are the things you'll probably speak about most, and probably the thing that captures your heart most, and things you'll make most time for, and the things that probably bring you most joy. Jesus says, where your treasure is, the things that you value the most, that's where your heart is. The challenge that Jesus says today is that you're someone who's encountered Christ and you've encountered the gospel of God. That's the thing that should grab your heart. That's the thing that should capture your heart. And what does Jesus say are the way of summing up the entire Old Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get this relationship right and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself unless this relationship is right. And he says, with all of your heart, not just some of it, not just part of it, not just the bit I bring out on Sundays to look good, all of my heart. Is God going to capture all of me? All that I am. Is that going to be the deciding factor in what I do? The attitude here is saying, if you've encountered God, your life should reflect that in the mercy that you show to each other. And he says, you need to be pure in heart. Not double-minded. That word purity. Purity means unadulterated, or in literal sense, unalloyed, not mixed with anything else. It's true, it is good, it is right. So the question this morning is our life divided? Do we have double vision in what we're doing? Are we actually giving this part of our heart, but not this part of our heart? This part of our life, but not that part of our life? Because the heart is ultimately the seat of our personality. It encapsulates all that we are. A pure heart is saying, I'm not wavering in where I'm going in my life. I'm not wavering in the direction that I'm going. I am seeking God. My ultimate aim in my life is to seek God, to be a worshipper of God, because to seek him is to come into his presence. And to come into his presence is an action of worship. I've read this morning from Psalm 24 when David is saying, he says, Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hand and a pure heart, who does not trust an idol or swear by false gods. They receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, the God of Jacob. You see, Psalm 24 is basically this beatitude. It's saying to seek God, to see him face to face, to approach God requires worship. And worship can only take place when there is holiness or cleanliness. Because if God is holy, how can I, who is unholy, approach God? So to approach God, I have to come in holiness. I have to offer him the honour that is due to him. If he is God, I worship him. If the Queen turned up in this room right now, you would act differently the way you do normally. Because as the sovereign of our country, as the Queen, there are certain protocols that we have to follow to honour her as our sovereign. It's the same thing when we approach God in worship. There are certain protocols that we need to go through in order to come before him. Now, the cross makes a way for us to be able to come before him. It allows grace and mercy to flow so sin no longer becomes an issue. So this morning, I just want to make the clear distinction, hope you get this, is that we're talking about here, in the Beatitudes, about someone who is a Christian. It isn't about you before being a Christian. If you are a Christian, if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you are set free from sin, and you are made holy by the Holy Spirit living inside of you, by God living in you. You are set free from sin. But the thing I want to share with you this morning is the fact that if we want to live a life where we see God at work around us, it requires a life of holiness or purity of heart. Not to make us righteous. We've been made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. But if you want to make the most of your Christian life, God says, live holy, have a pure heart, because that worships me, honours me, and then you can encounter my presence. You can see me face to face. So this is the question about saying, if I become a Christian, if my sins are wiped clean, and whatever I do, God won't hold it against me, well, I can carry on sinning. I can carry on doing whatever I want to do. You can if you want to, because grace is sufficient for that. But the true disciple is someone who wants to follow Jesus. It's saying, I want to see God. And so I want to live in obedience to God so that I can see the fullness of him. I can encounter him. So the holiness we're seeking, the holiness of the Beatitudes, isn't about making us righteous. It's the holiness that allows us to make the most of our Christian life in seeing him. Because obedience, I've talked about this before when we did Psalm 34, obedience and worship are one and the same thing. We are called to live a life of worship before God, to live in obedience to God, to follow him. Because obedience is saying, I recognize the authority under which I come. I've talked about this before. That what you worship shows what authority you come under. Because you're saying, this thing has value, which basically has control over me. So what you worship shows the authority to which you come under. What is your heart coming under? Is it football? Is it music? Is it your job? It could be many different things in our life which actually ends up becoming something that we crave to worship. And that is called idolatry. And it's the first issue that God points out in the Ten Commandments. He says, have no other God before me, and don't make anything that you can worship other than me. Because all sin is idolatry. So if you don't make God Lord of your life, you're living in sin, you're living in idolatry. And you can't see God when there's issues in the way. If we're not in obedience to him, we can't see God. We can't see him. So a worshipful life is living in obedience to him, and it allows us to see him. There's a famous verse in Proverbs, which if you've been a Christian for a long time, you'll know very well, which is the verse that says, without vision, people perish. And if we take it in a more recent translation to get more of a full flavour what that verse actually means. It's Proverbs 29:18. The NIV says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions." It's saying, when there's no revelation, or another translation says, when there's no vision of God, we cast off restraint, we go our own way, and it doesn't lead to anything. Or in other words, as the old translation says, when there's no vision of God, we perish because we end up going backwards. But blessed are the people who keep the instruction of God or walk in obedience to God. See, obedience allows us to see God. See, one last thing I'll explain. I want to live a supernatural life for God. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that He can heal today. He can do miraculous things today. Why? Because first of all, I've seen it. I trust that He can do it. I want to live a supernatural life. And many people say, I want to live a supernatural life. I want to do these things. But what they want, they want the big event, but they don't want to live a life of obedience to God. And if supernatural things happen around us because of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, the Spirit of God who is holy and He lives inside of us, how can the Holy Spirit work through us if our life is not in honouring to God? If our life is not pure in heart, if it is not a holy life? You see, holiness releases the power of God. That's why living in obedience to God is so incredible. It's not because we ought to follow the rules. It's a, when I follow Jesus, when I do what He's asked me to do, I live in obedience to Him, it releases the power of God. And so for so many of us, we don't see the power of God at work in our life because actually, we've got a bit bored of the whole Christian thing. So we'll turn up on a Sunday, but it doesn't really affect us much. And you can live that way. You're saved by grace. Amen. Awesome. You go to heaven. You get to see God. But I want to get to heaven and not God go, "You could have done so much more." I want Him to say those great words of Scripture, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To be faithful. To continually be in that place of serving Him. A place where faith is full. Because faith releases the power of God. That constant going, going, going for Him. Pure in heart will see God. When you seek to be in obedience to Him, it is a worshipful lifestyle that will allow you to see the power of God at work around you. Because it releases the supernatural. Because the Holy Spirit can work in a place where there is obedience and worship. Which is why often at Christian conferences or in Christian meetings, you see the Holy Spirit turn up. Because it's a place of worship. People are surrendering their hearts to Him fully. Doesn't mean to say it only happens there. It can happen on the street. It can happen wherever it wants to happen. Because if you're living a life in obedience to Him, the Spirit of God can flow through you. And incredible things can happen. Incredible things can happen. But we have got to make a decision to surrender our whole life to God in the things that we do. And the biggest threats to living in obedience to God are the three big ones: money, sex, and power. We all know those things. We hear it in our culture. Money, sex, and power are the biggest threats to a life of obedience to God because they tempt us and they lure us away from following what He wants. Which is why when we think about the word power and power in our society, that's why God has made us live in covenant relationship with each other. Because in covenant relationship, it stops people going on power trips because we are accountable in our relationship together. So community and church-Christian community of covenant relationship helps defeat the temptation of power because there's accountability. The issue of sex in our society, the big one. What's the thing we're seeing a breakdown of most? Marriage. God gives a place and a way of sex being holy, of being right. It says, in the place of marriage, it is wholesome and it is good and it finds its purpose and meaning. That's the thing that can avoid the temptation of sex, is thinking about the relationships we have, maybe in marriage. And money. What does the Bible teach about money? Jesus speaks on this more than anything else. He says, you need to honour God in your finances through the action of generosity or tithing and giving, which is why we have an offering. It's not so we can pay the bills of the church. We can meet somewhere else for free. We don't need to meet here. We don't need to pay the bills. But actually what we do in surrendering of our finances is we say, God is Lord of everything, including the money that I have. So I do something which shows that I am in worship to God. I surrender this to God. Therefore, I'm in worship to him. I'm in obedience to him. There's a holiness that then comes and flows through that. And so I've gone on way too long. Get back to my notes. The question to ask yourself is, what captures your heart? Because that's the thing that life is springing from in your life. Do you want to see God? Because if you do, worship and obedience to him are the way to seeing him. When we live a life of worship and obedience, it means that God can be glorified in everything that we do. In our work, in our schools, in our colleges, in the people we encounter. When we live a life in honour and worship to God, it brings glory to him. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. Are we prepared to seek God first? Because really, here's the question for this morning. If you want to know what has captured your heart or what controls your heart, try giving certain things up in your life. Because you try and give something up in your life and it controls you, it'll be really, really hard. It'll be really, really hard. So that might be a church ministry. That could be your job. It could be certain relationships in your life. It could be any number of things. But you can see what controls your heart by the things that you'd find it really hard to give up. And say, when you're addicted to something, it's really hard to give it up. You see what controls your heart. Try giving something up for God. Give it back into his hand. Say, God, I want to give it to you. The period of Lent, people often do that every year. Actually, what controls my heart? Is it going to be God, or is it going to be me? I've gone on way too long. I apologize this morning. But I hope you understand this principle, that when we live a life of holiness, pure in heart, we can see the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God at work in a life around us. Keep your eyes open for God at work. Right, let's pray. I'm going to keep going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I'm sorry that I've gone on so long this morning, but Lord, I pray that your word would go forth, that, Lord, it would bring life to our souls. Lord, let us purify our heart. Let's come before you in worship and choose to live a life for you. Lord, not so it makes us righteous and therefore good enough for you. We're all made righteous by faith. But Lord, so that we can see the power of God at work around us. Amen.